microphones and make a podcast. Two microphones and you make a podcast.
Hi, this is Joyce.
And this is Mary Beth.
Welcome to the Modern Yoga Podcast.
How are you, Mary Beth? I get more sing-songy every episode with that shit for some reason. And this is Mary Beth. Like, this is Tinkerbell. This is Hugh Downs. This is Mary Beth. Mary Beth or Mary Beth?
So I hear your husband call you Mary a lot. What do you go by?
I like Mary Beth. I do not like Mary, but I don't notice it with him calling me Mary. It's more like Mare Bear. My family, I guess, when I was really young, it was just Mary. But then once I started school, it was Mary Beth and mostly MB.
So what is your government name?
Oh, well, my government name is Mary Beth, two words, space between, capital M, capital B. That's the first name. No middle initial. Harrell/Twerty or Harrell hyphen Twerty.
You don't have a middle name?
I don't have a middle name.
Oh.
And when I asked Dolores, about the Mary Beth thing. What made you think of Mary Beth? Did you want it to be Mary and Beth? Did you want it to be Mary Elizabeth? She gets a vacant stare and goes, I don't remember.
Oh. Just your
okay.
name. Yeah. You're the youngest.
Don't know what all that is about. But and then the hyphen there in Harrell Twerty, I kept my maiden name because let's just say there might have been a former Twerty who had a penchant for opening credit cards and other people's names. So I didn't want to help out by actually having the same name. So I had kept my bank accounts and everything in Harrell and just added Twerty. But let me also say in the modern day of 2023 that American Airlines software cannot accommodate a hyphen. So I'm unable to check in for my flights ahead of time because my passport is correct, my driver's license is correct, but American Airlines cannot be correct.
You can't possibly be the only person with a hyphen in their name.
Oh, exactly. And Jeff's a problem too, because fun fact that we might have divulged before is that his name is actually Michael Jeffrey and his license says M. Jeffrey. So depending on how his reservation was made, so we're quite a pair.
You look very threatening too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, if I don't wax my eyebrows, I could look like a terrorist, but, and that is not meant to be racially insensitive, but I am a little bit Lebanese and I have my dad's unibrow or Frida Kahlo's unibrow, but she was Mexican, right?
I don't know.
Anyway, this is going down the wrong path.
Well, since we're on names, my last name is Fiakovich, and mm-hmm. I did not take Atherton.
But you do use Atherton.
I use Atherton, yeah. And the reason being is because I have such a unique last name, and I actually wanted to hyphenate, and James was very against that. And
how come? I mean, those are two big names as well.
That's why I wanted to hyphenate. I wanted to see what it looked like on a credit card or driver's license.
Yeah. Or the medical insurance.
And he was very like, you know, it's a deal breaker if you don't take my last name. And then at the very last minute, he was like,
idle threats, James.
I know you like your last name. You can keep it if you want. And I did. And then I think he regretted saying that. So,
but I love that Dave said,
Dave Hoffman.
Yeah, he calls you Joyce AF. Because like Joyce Ann Fiakovich, or if he's right. Confusing Atherton Fiakovich, and he's so cute because he said, as the kids say,
and he always calls me AF. Joyce AF. It's really
Joyce
funny.
Joyce AF.
Every time he sees me, he's like, hey, Joyce AF.
And he tries to be like,
yeah,
middle-aged guy being like, Millennial.
I'm the oldest, so I definitely have a story about my name.
Oh, good.
My mom's, one of her best friends, I guess, in high school is named Joyce, but she said I'm not named after her, but she liked the name. Mm-hmm. And Fiakovich is such a long and confusing last name that she wanted to keep my first name simple and one my syllable. And my middle name. So I'm Joyce Ann Fiakovich, mm-hmm. Which I get. So my brothers are Douglas and Brian.
Can you hear me pouring my coffee?
And they both have my dad's Andrew is their middle name, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I like that. It just makes sense. Like you have, I mean, Twerty's it's not Fiakovich, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, so mm-hmm. like longer.
Yeah. Names. But it's not Smith.
It's not Smith either. Right. I don't know. Names are really interesting, I guess. So we haven't really seen or talked to each other in a while. So this is not only a podcast catch up. This is like a personal catch up. You've been, I feel like I'm saying catch up, like mustard.
Onion is my, I mean, if you're at the Indians game or the Guardians game, I always root for onion in the mustard onion race. Yes.
You have
people probably assume, friendly as we are, that we hang out a lot, but there's no time for anyone to hang out with you.
We record our hangouts.
Yeah. And we text basic information that we have to about details. Like I need a sub, I'm going out of town, whatever, but we don't have much time to catch up. So this is our catch up.
So where have you been?
Where have I been? I guess just North Carolina, but a couple different places. There's our little mountain hideaway that we're working on. And then this last go round, we did go see the grandkids, which was awesome. We went to see Jackson play soccer, and they ended up having such high winds that they canceled his soccer game, but that's okay. It was the week before Easter. So they had, apparently there weren't too many high winds to have, you know, an egg hunt in the neighborhood of plastic eggs. So go figure. And we got to see Kennedy. I texted you a couple of pictures at her gymnastics class as well. So I just can't believe they're 9 and 4 this summer.
Mm-hmm. My niece and nephew are 9 and 6 and this in June, and I can't believe it either, but I can.
And since you and I met when Adelaide and Kennedy were like 2.
Yeah. They're kindred spirits.
They're just a couple weeks apart, and we accidentally would send each other pictures of like, here's Kennedy doing gymnastics, here's Adelaide doing gymnastics, here's Adelaide hanging from a tree branch, here's Kennedy hanging from a tree branch. So it is funny.
Adelaide is obsessed with getting a bra. That in Kennedy's... is that on the top of the mind?
It didn't come up that I heard this trip, but she does have Jackson around who's a little obsessed with, you know, buttholes and poop right now at his age. Funniest thing, I told the girls at book club last night, and I hope my daughter-in-law doesn't kill me for this, but she sent the funniest video. This just sums up guys in a nutshell, and maybe I'll be able to send it to you later. She sent a video of him in the bathtub, just his back playing with his toys. And she's, you know, a teacher. So they have, of course, like most kids, those foam letters that stick
to
your shower wall or whatever. So Jackson, pick the B. Jackson, pick the S. He stands up and he's picking things. Jackson, where's the O? Pulls the O off the wall, puts it on his little pecker. Welcome to every man ever born. Oh, this thing has a hole in it? I'm going to put my dick in there. He's 4 years old.
Awesome.
And then someone from book club whose name starts with an S, I don't want to embarrass her or her child, but she was, when I was telling this story, she said when her kid was about 4, she turned around and there was a store mannequin and he had his hands on the store mannequin boobs. And he said, "Mommy." And he looked down in his pants and he had a little action in the pants.
Oh, no.
She's like, oh my gosh, the male situation is so funny.
They can't help it.
They're like dogs.
And it's just animals. It doesn't change.
It doesn't. Like, there's a hole. I'm gonna put this in it. Instinct, man.
It's such a fun age. Like all these ages are so, like, Adelaide is so much fun. And it's so weird. One of my friends told me years ago, like when Adelaide was little, I couldn't get enough of her. And, you know, I obviously don't live with her, but I try to see her that, like, Thursday is my day. Right. And that's been since, well, I don't know if Thursday's always been the day. That's probably been since the studio, but mm-hmm. I go to see them once a week since they've been around. And like, I just remember saying, I don't want her to change. Like, I just, you know, cause they go through these phases and you just want to eat it up. And one of my friends was like, it just keeps getting better though. She's like, don't worry, you know? And
yeah, I have such a parallel story. When my niece Katie was young, I lived in Broadview Heights, and the neighbor Diane across the way from me was real close to her niece named Andrea. And her niece was like a teenager by that point, or 20 or something. And I said, oh, I'm so afraid for her to grow up and be done with me. And she said, no, it just gets better. It just gets different. And that's true. You know, now my niece has babies, Lofton and Miles, and she comes around plenty, and it's awesome. But yeah, I do remember that, you know, not wanting them to grow up. And even last time I visited Kennedy, laying in her bed at night, I was like, someday you're going to be tired of hanging out with us, and that's okay. I don't want you to feel bad about it. And she was like, I'm not tired of you yet. So I'm like, sob.
Oh.
Because think of your relationship with your grandparents. Did you have grandparents around?
Yeah.
I mean, at some point you're busy with your friends and you're 12 or whatever, right. And you know.
Yeah, but I feel like this is more wishful thinking. But she and I have and Wesley too. My relationship with Wesley's a little different. Adelaide and I have a really close, good relationship, and I think I might be the aunt or the adult in her life, or one of them, that she wants to share things with, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that she trusts. So
yeah. Which is so important, you know, when we use the adage, it takes a village,
yeah,
to raise a child. It's so important to show up for other people's kids in a way that they can trust. Albeit understanding that if something terribly serious is going on, you're not going to do anything but encourage them probably to be honest with their parents about it or whatever. But it's like in our previous episode when we were talking to Lauren, and she coined that phrase for me about watering each other. Like, if you water a friend's plants, but do you water your friend? Because they need it too. So we need to water each other's kids and everything, make those little flowers grow. Isn't that beautiful?
It is. I saw something on Facebook or TikTok or something where a psychologist was saying that naturally kids are going to defy or separate from their parents' way of thinking, mm-hmm. in preteen and teenage, sure. years. And that's like, that means your child is healthy. But that's why having that village is so important, because you want to make sure that the people that they do trust, who are going to just be people not that far out of your family,
right?
Like your
similar values, family,
yeah, are going to give them say the things that you want them to say, or that you agree with. You know, that they're on the same page. So. I don't know.
You and I didn't raise children, and so we know everything. But I remember, yeah. telling my sisters, like,
we get all of our information from social media.
When you're feeling so dejected that your kid lied to you, that is so normal.
Right.
When you get dejected that your kid's not confessing everything about their boyfriend or confiding, come on. Right. Did we tell mom this stuff? No, absolutely not. And that's good. And that's okay and healthy too.
Right. Yeah.
Speaking of watering plants, I had at least once a year, I get such spring fever when the weather changes. And I love all my classes, but my noon Wednesday class has taken on a life of its own with a bunch of regulars and such high energy. So once a year, I stop and get flowers to give to everybody. They didn't have tulips at the Flowerama this week, so I got carnations. And I bought 2 dozen because usually that class has maybe 20 at this time of year. And I got to the checkout and Flowerama chick said, if you spend $20 or whatever it is, you get a dozen roses for 10. And they had these beautiful roses, not just red roses, but like the ones I chose were this beautiful kind of tea stained cream color. Mm-hmm. I'm like, surely I will find somebody to give these to today. I think last year I gave them to my mom. I remembered it happening. And so I was on my way to the studio. I had other errands to run. Surely I'm going to run into somebody I know. I could take them to Mary, my hairdresser, but she wasn't in. And just when I got to the last stretch of time that I had before my class, I was heading into the TJ Maxx. Didn't want to leave him in the car because it went from winter to 80 and the inside of your car is now a terrarium and these flowers would wilt. So I literally handed them to a stranger, a woman with 2 young girls in a minivan and a European accent parked next to me at the TJ Maxx. So I hand them to her. I said, hey, I'm handing out a bouquet of flowers today and you get them. So she was appreciative, put them in the car. She continued on toward the TJ Maxx. I turn and start walking toward the TJ Maxx. And I kid you not, I'm not 12 steps away from our cars when I do run into somebody I know. And it's Nikki, Nikki W., who used to come to my classes years ago before COVID. Since I've seen her, we've texted a bit. She's lost at least a parent or two and in-laws. Mm. Her mom has stage 4 cancer. She's raising 2 daughters with her husband. And so I was like, shit, I handed those off literally 12 steps too early because here's the person I was meant to hand those flowers to. So I said, under the category of it's the thought that counts, I'm going to tell you that I have a dozen roses for you, but they're in that woman's minivan. And if you want me to break her window and get them out, I will. She said, no. We're meant to run into each other. So I felt bad that my flowers landed in the wrong place. But so that's the end of my, that's the end of the story. That's the big finish.
Thank you for the carnation. I was.
Oh, yeah, there were 3 left. So I left them for you guys.
Well, thanks.
Carnations are like what? Sort of akin to a dandelion. They're hard to kill. They last a long time. They come in fun colors.
You're saying they're a weed.
Well, a little bit. I don't love fancy flowers. I like country flowers. Weedy kind of flowers.
Telling me to put a bird of paradise in the hot studio in Brooksville.
I did. Yeah, I do think that. Funky flowers, I guess. When I got married to Jeff, I had not even a bouquet, just like a little bunch of Gerber daisies. I like casual flowers, ragamuffin flowers.
What do carnations symbolize, according to Google? Oh, it goes into white in the colors. White is a color of purity and good luck. Presenting white carnations with someone conveys a message of pure love and prosperous life. Prosperous.
And carnations, so you can sort of put them in whatever kind of water and food coloring, and they come whatever color you want. These yesterday were some nice, like corally and peachy. And
so it's funny, when James and I think we were still dating. No, actually, we couldn't have been. We were married, and I was still working at Clear Channel, and he sent me flowers a few times, but like just randomly.
You don't bring me flowers.
Actually, there's flowers on the table now, but he called in the order to Flowerama. There was a Flowerama very close to where I used to work, and so they delivered it, and the card said something like, I love you or something. And then it said, from your husband. And it was spelled H-U-S-B-E-N.
Oh, from your has-been.
And I was like, okay. I mean, I just imagined like all these scenarios of like, James didn't go in there and sign this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hope not.
And maybe they should be done on the computer so that there's
Yeah, maybe there should be a little second set of eyes on anything that leaves the building with the card.
It just became, I remember, I mean, obviously I remember the flowers, but it was just a funny thing.
Well, last night's book club was a book called Book, oh my gosh, Rock, Paper, Scissors.
Yeah.
And spoiler alert, so if you want to read that book and don't want to hear a spoiler, stop listening for a few moments. But relative to what you just said, it's only near the end of the book that you figure out that every chapter, when there's a letter, an anniversary letter from husband to wife, and it's signed your wife, you figure out that that's not the same wife you're reading the story about.
Yeah, that was a
very clever,
cool twist.
Not your husband, yeah, but your wife. Easier to spell.
It was really fun talking to Lauren. It was yesterday for our worldwide podcast audience. We're on a little podcast roll right now.
Yeah, and I haven't had many conversations with Lauren, so I really enjoyed it.
That neurospicy, I started reading it, the definition that I found on Google yesterday. I still have it open and I didn't get to read the last sentence. So the first sentence was, it encompasses conditions such as autism spectrum disorders, dyslexia, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. I don't know how to say this word, dyscalculia.
Not familiar with that one.
Tourette syndrome and others. And then the last sentence is, the idea behind this term is that everyone's brain works differently, so there isn't one way of thinking or experiencing things that applies to everyone, which I think is such a, that encompasses so many things, but
it does. And it's a non-insulting way, like neurospicy is almost a compliment.
Yeah. Yeah. Lauren obviously is a very interesting person, and I still feel so bad for her about the house fire. Can you imagine coming home and seeing your ceiling fan on the floor and just like,
yeah, you know, there's a house on Prospect that I pass twice a week, and there was a fire and it's still boarded up and just so black and scary looking to imagine. And I laugh all the time because these houses go up and fires are so common. House fire, these wildfires, but you put me and Jeff outside trying to build a fire and we cannot make it happen. There's a lot of smoke. It's just funny. Like, this is supposed to burn and it won't burn, but these other things go up like nothing.
When I met Lauren, though, it was it was about what she said, a year away. And I don't know. I remember feeling like she, even though she was very comfortable at her friend's house and everything, like she had been out of her house for a year.
Yeah.
And, you know, can you imagine like coming home from work? It's probably, it's December, so it's dark. And like, what do you do that particular night?
Yeah.
You don't have anything. You don't even have your toothbrush.
Yeah. And who do you call? What do you do? What do you,
Right. What a scary situation. So you did a trip. How is your house, by the way? Is it coming along?
It is coming along, just probably a couple more months, and we'll be headed back down there to check on it in the next week or so. So
this is your birthday trip coming up.
My birthday is the end of the month. So this is connected to my birthday trip, which is in the same area, a music festival. And then in the days in between, we'll have sort of some chores to do and or maybe visit the kids again.
Where is this?
This is like 10 or 12 days away, which is a lot for me. I feel kind of anxious about that.
Being away for so long?
Yeah. Mary Kay and I were just talking about that last night. She's back from 3 months in Costa Rica. And I said, are you happy to be home? And she said, so happy to be home. I had the best time, but I was homesick. And I said, yeah, the only time I travel more than 7 days, there's only been a time or two when we went somewhere big like Ireland or Italy. And even that, I was at the end of my, like, I got to get home. It's been too long. So, I've got my mom next door and she's fairly healthy, but elderly, and there's a lot of steps, and I don't know, it just kind of makes me itch.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. I will embrace and have fun. It's nothing to complain about, for sure.
We just did a quick trip, and
yeah, tell us about your anniversary trip. 10 years married.
Yeah.
The gift? What's the supposed anniversary gift for 10 years?
10.
It's probably told me in rock, paper, scissors, and I didn't retain that information. Oh, it's tin.
Yeah.
Oh, so did you get like a tin ring or a nice piece of tin jewelry?
I think she said tin. That didn't even make sense. I'm just going to move along.
I thought you said 10. So did you get a tin gift or?
I was going to. Actually, I was going to, and then I had this thing picked out on Etsy, and then I was like, he just wants jujitsu stuff.
Yeah. And who invented these things? Who decided on this racket? Like, let's take every year of an anniversary and guide people by giving them what gift it should be. And whoever that person was, what the hell made them choose tin?
Well, traditionally tin or aluminum is meant to commemorate the 10th wedding anniversary. It's known for resilience and inability to rust. They symbolize the durability of your marriage. But if you want to give or receive a bit more glamorous a gift, you might prefer the more modern 10-year anniversary theme, which is diamonds.
Like, what kind of husband do you have? Will he buy you tin or will he buy you diamonds? And there's no in between. Those are two ends of the spectrum.
So I was going to buy James some jujitsu stuff because that's what he wants. And I was about to buy him a new very fancy gi that all the cool kids wear. And this site, it was called Origin. I noticed that they're having a jiu-jitsu camp this summer.
Oh boy.
And I thought he should just go.
Yeah.
And so then I had to spill the beans and I'm like, and he's like, no, that's too much and whatever. I'm like, so your birthday's around the time of the camp. We'll just call it a all encompassing, whatever, but you should go. You love jiu-jitsu. And then he's like, I got to think about it. And then he's like, I thought we were doing this trip. Like, I thought we were going to decide what we were going to get each other. Like, we were just going to do it all on the trip. And I kind of felt like I ruined it, like that whole thing. And I ruined the surprise. And then he's going to think about this jiu-jitsu camp
too much
and the whole thing. And just, it was a lot all at once on top of everything else that we were doing, which was a lot, but it wasn't complicated, So I just pulled back and then he got me a bunch of gifts.
Well, it's so funny that you are talking about this because our marriage is similar in that. And I don't know if it's a Mars and Venus thing or what, but same thing. Like, you try and do something with the best of intentions and they appreciate it with the best of intentions, but it's still kind of wrong.
Yeah.
So they come back to you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm okay. I can just accept a gift, whether it's what I wanted or not, and embrace it and let it go. But Jeff and I, like, for a few years ago for his birthday, I was trying to get the kids together for a trip and surprise him. And he was like surprised, but confused. And then it was like, well, why don't we add a day on this end of it or go here instead? And I was like, okay, then just plan the thing yourself. Or like just a few weeks ago, we were going to dinner with friends and it was like a last minute thing. We were text messaging each other. So at some point I said, I took the liberty of making a reservation at Sangria in Westlake for this time. And
this is becoming the complain about your husband podcast.
Yes, James, it is the complain about your husband podcast. Let me finish. So then Jeff texts me privately and he's like, maybe they'd prefer somewhere more casual or maybe this or maybe that. And I said, you know what? Then you freaking do it. When we got to dinner that night, my friend Deb said, can I just say thank you so much for just making a reservation and throwing it out there? Because none of us, they were all working. And I'm like, well, thanks for saying that because Mr. Twerty over here wanted to fix it. He's a fixer. And then Jeff really did feel bad. But my point is, I don't think they notice it at all. And I don't think they're ungrateful or trying to, it's just in their way to manage the situation, I guess.
I think some of it too is age and how long you've been married, you know, so like, because when you're younger, it's like, yeah, I'll go to the jiu-jitsu camp. Like, thank you, surprise, whatever. And now mm-hmm. it's like, well, one, it's my birthday, which is a great gift. Like, it's, you know, he would be there for his birthday, but mm-hmm. also
I have a grandchild
away from the studio and, yeah. and away from Alina. And it was kind of expensive, but like, he's not going to be able to do, well, I don't know how much jiu-jitsu you can do, like at the level of intensity. Cause you
right,
know,
right.
there's choke holds and immersive things like that. Thing. I can't
very
imagine.
Physical. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, he really loves it. So that, I think that's I've done skating camps and I got so much out of them because you just, it's kind of like a yoga class where you, or a retreat.
Yeah, it's
not a really retreat in a way because the retreat is also a vacation, but like, you're so focused on it for an entire week. And that's,
yeah, it's like a little bit immersive.
Yeah.
And a different atmosphere. But he does, you know, as a grumpa, he yeah. needs to blow out a candle on a cake probably in front
well,
of Alina.
And there's just more to juggle. And you want to, we have the ability to.
Maybe he should go to juggling camp.
There you go.
Clown college.
But we have the ability to like tie up all the loose ends and make it work right here. I think when you're younger, you're just like, yeah, I'm going. Or. Great yeah. gift, you know what yeah. I mean? I don't know. Let's invite these people and let's do this. And but yeah,
now so, I'm picturing James as the grumpy clown. We can market no. that. The yeah, grumpy clown happen. Yoga class.
I had this moment, weird moment with my brother last night. We were talking about the recent shooting in Nashville and just how horrible and unpredictable things are these days. And like, Ashley is going to throw out Alina's shoes that light up.
Oh yeah.
You know, and, that's going to be a problem because one has Anna and one has Elsa.
Oh, and the kids love those.
Yeah. And then my brother was talking, or I asked him like, do they go through like drills? And he goes, yeah. And it's really unnerving to hear them talk about like the drills that they do go through. And he said that they have looked into bulletproof backpacks.
Aye.
And that made me cry, and I'm going to cry again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the F kind of world do we live in?
Mm-hmm.
Like, seriously.
I mean, there's all these dangers, but you understand why people are afraid to drop their kids off anywhere and want to keep right. them home.
Yeah.
It's out of your control is out of your control.
It's so awful. Like, it's just so awful. I can't, and you know, there are children in my life, and it made me also this last incident really, I realized how many educators are in my life.
Oh my gosh.
So many teachers at the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't
know. Yeah. And
what's it like for them to go to work?
Right. Exactly. And knowing that, you know, just like a flight attendant, part of their training is very difficult on what happens if this thing goes wrong. How do we keep ourselves and people safe? Teachers are having to have that kind of thought too. It's not just about reading, writing, and arithmetic, but we are in charge of keeping ourselves and others safe in a terrible emergency situation.
I saw
that is so common now. It's just so common. It's ridiculous that it's a normal conversation.
Isn't it? I saw a TikTok or a reel somewhere where a teacher was like talking about how people are saying arm the teachers. She's like, no, I don't, that's not why I got into teaching. I don't want to, mm-hmm. my job isn't to shoot people.
And my niece Katie and I were talking about it, I think, on Easter, and her daughter Lofton is going to be starting kindergarten. And she said, for the first time, I have to think about if something happens and there's a shooter in this school, I've got this class in front of me that I'm responsible for, but also my kid is somewhere else in this building.
Oh my God.
Just gives you goosebumps to think about. And forget about getting shot, because that's a whole different category. But the way all of the kids are traumatized by any scare or real situation right. like that is just intense. And, you know, other generations have had air raid drills and air raids, and, you know, kids in Ukraine are having, so there's different traumas that happen. Concentration camps. There have been terrible things happening to children always in other places and here. This is just one of them, but it's not something you can just suck up and move on.
No. No, not at all. So let's hope that was the last one.
Well, it's not the last one.
Yeah.
It's not even almost the last one. There's probably been ones we haven't even heard about in between.
It's funny you say that. You know, we obviously both listen to our fair share of podcasts, and our fair share of podcasts sometimes have ads for other podcasts. And there's a podcast it's on Wondery. I think it's This Is Actually Happening, which I've listened to, but they are currently doing a series on a shooting that kind of got overlooked because mm-hmm. of the
bigger shooting
or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Bigger, better ones.
Mm-hmm. And so I've been listening to that one a little bit. Like, I can only, in their firsthand accounts of it, and they're very interesting and insightful. I just don't want to absorb all of that.
You happen to see the one reporter who was reporting on the shooting, and she kind of lost it because she, I don't know, you know, 12 years prior or something had survived a school shooting. And there she was covering one. And so she brought a little something different to the table.
Oh my God.
Yeah. We'll have to see if you can Google that one. It was just, yeah.
Well, on a different note, to change the subject to something a little less miserable,
mm-hmm.
We had a realtor come to our house and kind of give us some advice on what to do, like where to focus our efforts and money, you know, to fix things to get the house ready to sell. And it's not, and I knew this, it's nothing's bad. Mm-hmm. It's just, there's a lot of little things. And
yeah, and they know what is most important to a buyer's eye.
Exactly. So so things are already starting to happen. Like, we hired somebody, this is not a big deal, but we hired somebody to just help clean up our backyard, like trim the bushes and stuff like that. And I went out there and talked to him yesterday, and I've trimmed the bushes several times, and it's hard, you know.
How many times are you going to say trim the bush without me stepping in?
Anyhow, we decided to remove the bush is because they're just all
the bushwhack.
Different. Yes. And I knew that probably should have been done a few years back, but I just don't like killing things,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you can't mm-hmm. really, there's no, you can't replant those or they're, it's not mm-hmm. worth that. So, but it'll just be nicer. Like, mm-hmm. it's not a big deal. And I keep telling myself that. So he's like, oh, and that's so much less work on my yeah. part. And so he's going to come back in a few days with the proper equipment to remove the bushes.
Yeah. Somebody who has the better equipment and does their job for a living, it's usually a better job and more easily tackled than trying to do it all yourself, whether that might be painting or whatever kind of remodeling. I mean, there's a lot Janitor James and you can do yourselves, but sometimes it's easier and quicker, albeit more expensive, at least at the onset, to have somebody else do it.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, we're moving in the right direction though. And you know, like,
and speaking of moving, in what direction would you be moving? You used to have a Strongsville studio, but now you have Brecksville as well. So are you going to throw a dart and land in the middle?
Actually, we are hoping for North Royalton.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because of the physical location between the two studios, because hopefully, you know, we'll continue to grow. Mm-hmm. But it's Alina and Ashley will be living with us for the foreseeable future. And mm-hmm. Alina will be starting school in a few years. And mm-hmm. We happen to know one of the mm-hmm. principals. And
yeah, we do.
It's a great school.
I think we just mocked him, though.
Well, I don't think we mocked him. But it's it's a great school system, and it's integrated to a degree, you know,
mm-hmm.
And we've got someone on our side, kind of,
mm-hmm.
and yep. So, and it's a great area.
You know, when we do have teachers guesting on the podcast, school teachers, Principal mm-hmm. Vince, Susie, all the teachers we know and have. Or even the Guy podcast, we should talk about school shootings
yeah,
with them, should. You know, add that to the list. I this is not a happy subject either, but under the category of the podcasts we listen to, I think I told you I listened to, I think it's called What Now with Brooke Shields.
Yeah.
And she interviewed an author who I believe is named Amy Bloom. And this one really got me thinking weirdly. It was about the ability to end your life if you are ill.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a way I had never thought of it. So apparently we have various states where you can do a physician-assisted suicide. But this woman's husband, who was a very big, loud personality, was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And even in states where you're able to make that choice, which even wrapping my head around that is tough for me. So that can be another subject for another day, what we feel about that. But you have to, much like a hospice situation, have a team of physicians say that you are terminal. You'll be gone within however many months. And of course, that's not the case with Alzheimer's, A.
Right.
And B, by the time you are terminal with Alzheimer's, you're not of sound mind. And you have to prove that you are of sound mind and decision-making. So they went to, I think, Switzerland or somewhere. But so there you are with a person who's still healthy at this point.
Right.
They're showing signs and have been quote unquote diagnosed with a dementia, because even those things are loose diagnoses until you have an autopsy. And the dynamic of that person making the decision and you supporting them or not, and the rest of the family and friends, when right now they're, I don't know, 67 years old and healthy.
Right.
And having the beginning of Alzheimer's. Wow. It was a heavy walk. I was walking in the Richfield historical area that I've told you, kind of near the Brecksville studio that I love. And I was like, wow, that is some deep stuff there. Yeah. I'm saying.
I'm glad that it's getting like this kind of attention though, even though like, I mean, hopefully it's got to be getting attention on a bigger scale. I hope that's a big podcast. Because it's a real weird subject, right? But
mm-hmm.
medicine keeps people alive because it can, and it shouldn't always.
Mm-hmm.
And who was it? I was saying, or I read, it's probably through all this, the, you know, like my grief dealing with my dad, but like we just we don't talk about death. We don't prepare for death, like actually dying. Mm-hmm. You know, we always joke and say, well, I want to be cremated, or I want to do this, or after when I'm gone, you can have that, you know, mm-hmm. kind of thing. But like the actual event of dying, because we're all going to die, right? Mm-hmm. And do you want to, like, how frail are you willing to become just for the sake of being here? And I guess because we haven't ever been on the fringe of death, we don't know if we're afraid of it, or like,
right,
we just don't think about it.
Right. Like, and there's a difference between withholding some of that medical care so that you die a natural death, or doing something to make it happen too. So,
right. But just like euthanizing an animal is the humane thing to do, and if done properly, like, they don't suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want to suffer if you were ready to die? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And why would you, you know,
but again, withhold medicine from me except pain meds and let me die a natural death, although that might take longer and might be uglier. Or get a shot where, or if it's legal. And a lot, it's like abortion and guns and everything else. People disagree on what's okay. Different faiths disagree on what's okay.
Yeah. Well, we really covered everything today, huh?
I know. The highs, the lows.
That's the lows. The tears of laughter and joy. The neurospice.
Neurospicy. I am not neurospicy. I'm neurobland. I'm neuro wonder bread. And mayo. Hellman's mayo. That's me. Neuro non-spicy.
Call you neuro Mary Beth. Well, it's great to catch up with you. Personally, yeah. as professional podcasters
to our international audience. I did text Patty, speaking of our global audience, yesterday, and I said, when are you coming home to us? Because we were at book club, and she said she's coming home sometime in May, and she might be home for a little bit. So we'll have to get her back on and get together.
Is their condo done?
I don't know about done, but it's in the works, and that's why they might be home for a while. So
talk about a delay. That was supposed to be done.
Yeah, she said end of summer. I think we may be able to move in end of summer. So we may be around for a while.
But I think that was, their condo was supposed to be done last fall.
Yeah, that'll be almost a year later.
Yeah.
Nikes.
But she, I mean, they just, what did they do? They initially extended their 2-week vacation in Italy to 4 months or something like that.
And then there's been Bali and Thailand and all the wonderful places.
Yeah.
I actually wish they just became cameramen. And could you imagine the wonderful TV show? I hope she's journaling or something. I don't know if that's her game, but what a unique slice of life they're having right now.
For sure. Yeah. I wonder how long they'll keep it up. You know, like, what if their kids get married and have kids and mm-hmm. all that stuff?
Yeah.
Maybe they'll just take the grandkids on some pretty cool trips.
Right. Maybe. Maybe it'll be a whole different world for the grandkids.
Like Geneva on the Lake, and they'll do the Great Lakes tour.
But the thing is that beauty is just everywhere. It can be close. It can be far, far away and exotic, different, but it's all.
Yeah.
It's all. Actually, if it's novel to you, it's still the same experience. Like, what's that one quote I like about light is in both the diamond and the broken bottle?
Oh, yeah.
Like, pretty shiny glass can be
beautiful.
Yeah.
I was a couple months ago when it was kind of snowy, sloshy. I was driving into Strongsville on real early on a Monday morning at, like, probably, it was probably 4:15 or not 4:15, 5:15. And, I got a text from Patty on a kayak or a photo of her in a kayak. And she was just saying hi, and she missed me, because, you know, we always joked about, like, every time you open Instagram, there's Patty on a kayak and we're going through a pandemic, right? Like that, that was what it was. Like the pandemic was really unfolding and Patty was on a kayak in Bali.
missing it. Just bliss. And when I texted her last night from book club, she said, oh, it's morning here.
Yeah. Oh, so I texted her a photo of, like of the gross, well, it's not gross, but the sloshy.
It's gross.
Yeah.
Me.
And then after I sent it, I'm like, you know what? This is beautiful too. Like, I'm not complaining. It, you know, I don't mind all the seasonal changes but
we have to, you have to, I mean, I do a lot of self-talk about that because it really does get me down, but I got to tell you, it is true. It is biological. Now that it's nice out, the time change, the sun, I'm sleeping with the windows open. I hear the birds in the morning. I feel the breeze on my skin and I'm a different person.
Yeah. Oh, everybody is.
Oh,
everything's just a little bit lighter and
makes me bring flowers to yoga.
It makes you bring flowers to yoga.
I don't even like flowers.
Well, again, it's been super nice to see you. We've got,
we had a little bit of a podcast break, not on purpose, but so we're happy to bang them back out again. We're going to take down the bush and just bang.
Okay.
All right, we're done.